Welcome to Raising Happy and Thriving Gifted Kids, a daily podcast where you get relatable stories, interesting lessons, and practical tips to help your kids thrive and be happy while enjoying your own life even more. We're going on a journey to figure out what giftedness actually is. And one really great book recommendation that's actually kind of a fun read as well is IQ, A Smart History of a Failed Idea. Well, the title itself kind of gives away how positive it is about the idea of using IQ. But the first few stages of giftedness, like the general population, when you talk about gifted and talented or extremely gifted or profoundly gifted, they immediately conjure up images pretty much of, you know, Einstein or Isaac Newton or, I don't know, Leonardo da Vinci, like the truly great that pretty much, you know, every century had one absolutely brilliant person, and that is a gifted and talented person. Well, if you dive a little bit into the research and find out what giftedness actually is, you find that it's a lot more of a common concept. And the first thing you usually run into is IQ. And that's a reason, because if you go to a psychologist or an expert, they will test your child or an adult to figure out if they are gifted. And the tool that is most commonly used is an IQ test. And basically, you know, if you would use a ruler to decide on somebody's length and the length determines something, then the ruler will decide if somebody is something. And the same goes with an IQ test. Because we use IQ tests to measure whether a kid's gifted, we assume that the test declares giftedness. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But the idea of IQ was originally, you know, thought of by a guy called Binet. And he did research and he was trying to figure out why are some, you know, people smarter than others? And why, you know, does one 20-year-old thinks and function like a 10-year-old, or one somebody who's 20 can think and reason and knows all the things that you would expect from a 40-year-old. And that's actually one of the first kind of attempts at coming up with a quotient. And a quotient is simply something that you divide by, which is, you know, your chronological age divided by your functioning age. So if you are, or actually functioning age by your chronological age. So if you're functioning like a 40-year-old and your age is a 20-year-old, then 40 divided by 20 is 2. Times 100 is 200, which would make an IQ of 200. If you're 21, you know, chronologically, and you reason and think and you know things like a 21-year-old, you know, 21 divided by 21 is, you know, 1. So you get an IQ of 100. And if it's the other way around, if you're 20 years old, but you function like a 10-year-old, then you have 10 divided by 20 is 0.5. Times 100 is 50. So an IQ of 50 is half the IQ of your age. Well, through the years, there have been a lot more rigorous, you know, scientific and mathematical models applied. So it's definitely not this quotient anymore. But kind of like that reasoning is still behind it. How much ahead or behind are you? And we currently do it with an IQ test, and the intelligence quotient is determined by a statistical approach which is called standard deviations. How far away from standard are you? And it's been determined that, you know, 65% roughly of the population is within one standard deviation of the norm. And we've decided that's between 85 and 115. So if I've bored you out of your mind yet, we can do a lot more in-depth training on this. But that's basically that, you know, 65% of the people is kind of determined to be average. And then the next step is that we figure out that, you know, about 95% of the people are within two standard deviations. So they're a little bit further outside the norm, but not too crazy much. So with an IQ between a 70 and 130 is considered slightly more to the extreme. So between 85 and 70 is quite on the low end. And between 115 is kind of on the high end, but not crazy much. And two standard deviations, so either beneath 70 or above 130, is considered to be kind of exceptional. And only 2.3% of the population, and that's not like an approximation is actually a statistical fact, goes into that category. And that's what we've come to know as highly gifted. It's simply a definition question of asking people a whole bunch of questions which have been rigorously tested with all kinds of scientific methods, and then figuring out who are the 2.3% smartest people who can answer, you know, a series of questions. And once we know that, you know, then we can go to the next step and ask, you know, what can we do for them? What can we do with them? But if you take 2.3% of the population, you come about roughly, you know, 41 or 42, you know, one in every 42 people that you will run into are highly gifted. So it's not just once in a century. It's, you know, I don't know, it's two in every three classrooms. So that puts a completely different spin on, you know, what giftedness is and how common it is to find out. So the theory of giftedness, the annoying thing with it, and you will find it with most research around giftedness, is there's not a lot you can actually do with it. So it's kind of hard to give homework assignment on this. But I'm curious, did you already know this? And what are your thoughts on IQ and value it? If you liked this episode of Raising Happy and Thriving Kids, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast software. And if you want to dive deeply into all the things you can do to help your kids thrive, be happier, while making your own life more enjoyable, go to smartparentingsecrets.com, where you can get free additional training. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and as always, bring out the best in yourself and each other.